coffee. Haven't heard that in forever. And happy to get Papo Morales in here because we've got a little recapping to do with formtowin.com. Papo, good morning. Uh-oh, where's Papo?
Hello?
There we go.
Hello?
There's Papo.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. I could hear you and you couldn't hear me.
No. No, well, there you are. Papo, how was your weekend?
Oh, it was pretty good. I mean, no major hits, did enough to basically float, and a couple nights exact has kind of saved the day. So seems like you did well. I saw you hit that nice, I guess it was the late pick five at Fairgrounds. So congratulations on that.
Thank you. Actually, it was a funny day. I mean, I got a lot right. That middle pick four, I was kind of kicking myself because I could have done one or two different things differently to hit that. But then, you know, some things fell into place for the rest of it. And, you know, in particular, that summer in Saratoga was a big part of it. And Classy John, we should mention. Dallas, with Dallas Stewart already in Dubai, Classy John, and I think, let me see if I've got... I may have the form to win. I may have done a screen cap on that, as it happens, Papo, because that was the race with no parole. And I was, even having had Tom Amos on, I was not comfortable with the whole, you know, the turf experiment, you know, the idea of him, you know, translating instantly to, you know, to the turf. And then he didn't break well. And, you know, Classy John's previous start, he had really, you know, from a competitive standpoint, he had really put himself, you know, in the mix with the two favorites. And but for him to go for that price was nuts. And obviously that was a big benefit.
Yeah, it was. There were some races where, you know, you thought you could beat the chalk and the chalk would win, and then there were other races. I mean, the biggest race for me was, I mean, Colonel Liam, who I think you had to use, but, you know, I think I texted you Saturday morning about Conviction Trade with Rosario for Maker, who I thought from a pace perspective would kind of get the same trip that two Emmys got. And then when the gates opened, he went straight to the back and he was rated. I was like, well, that's not going to work out. But even speaking of two Emmys, Steve, I know that I forgot who gave him out on your show last week.
Two Emmys from we got from Frank. Frank
yeah.
Had a phenomenal. I mean, other than Manitoulin not firing, Frank had gave out so much good information. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, it was great. And two Emmys. If you know they were calling the turf good, I don't know how good it was if it was closer to firm. But when I put in on Form to Win for that particular race, when I just looked at races that were rated good yielding soft, he was ranked number two. Two Emmys was. So he was definitely a logical play. And then especially with your other guest, him mentioning him, I think you could have put him on. And actually, that was a very nice exacta, Colonel Liam into two Emmys. So, yeah, some plays like that, they kind of saved the day. And then the other race, you know, I know you don't have Dallas on, but it was Owendale Chess Chief. They were by far the best on Form to Win, and I thought Owendale would maybe not, I don't know, I think he was going to finish second, and he kind of did, and that's the way that I played it, although it was by the, you know, basically by a nose. I had a buddy text me after the race, and he's like, did he get there? And I'm like, I don't know, because the view was so odd, Steve. I have no clue how he got there, but he did. So that was good. And then, you know, the last race, the Louisiana Derby, I mean, Hot Rod Charlie, if you just looked at races, I set my form at, you know, between 8.5 furlongs, anything 8.5 and up, and he only had two races, but he was ranked number one, and I was against Mandolin. I didn't like him at all. So I kind of keyed off Midnight Bourbon and used him with Hot Rod Charlie. So that was a playable sequence also. So all in all, you know, Form to Win did pretty darn well, you know, analyzing those races. Even when you have limited data, you know, obviously the more data you have, the better. But in this case, even with a limited data, it came through.
And that's, you know, to me, you bring up the mile and a 16th and beyond as the setting. And I'm looking through I try to screen cap as many of the big races as I can. Well, that's Sunday from, Hong Kong, which we'll get to in a minute. I did not screen cap the Louisiana Derby. I've got like the previous four. Huh. All right. Well, the last I've got is the, I didn't even do it for the girls race, because that seemed, that race just seemed, you know, pretty much obvious with the major contenders. But, when it comes to this, you bring up the distance portion, and what do you recommend people do when you set a distance parameter and you end up sometimes with two or three horses, let's say, in a good size field that haven't even reached the minimum distance? I mean, typically at this time of year with the 3 year olds, we're looking at a mile and an eighth races. So if you were to set things, let's say, from 8 furlongs and beyond, 8 furlongs to 9, any horse, let's say, stretching out from 7/8, doesn't show up. They're at the bottom of the screen because you don't have a set of information. Do you look at that grouping and then recalibrate and drop, let's say, to 6 or 7 furlongs, because that'll change the rest of the field's evaluation as well?
Yeah, well, the first thing I do, Steve, is before I even create a filter, I just flag whatever horse is just fastest on form to win, regardless of distance, just to keep my eye on that horse as I'm going through the filters. And then for each particular distance, you know, if it's at a mile and we don't have much data, I will look at 7 to 8 furlongs. But if it's anything above a mile, I think you kind of have to do your cutoff at 8. Because usually, I mean, depending on the track, most of those mile races can be two turns, and that's a big deal too. And especially by the time we get to Derby, I would only be looking for those filters. I'd be setting them at a mile and eighth and up. I'm not interested in, like you say oftentimes, a mile and a 16th, mile and eighth, but a mile and eighth is kind of where you start to separate the contenders from the pretenders, so to say. So yeah, I think it just depends on the track and the distance. I mean, obviously, some of these, you know, these young horses, it's hard to analyze that, and we're limited to 7 and 8 furlongs is all we're going off of. I mean, you know, then you just kind of have to know pedigree, and you can get that information from other PPs too. But in terms of just the raw data, as much as you can filter it more precisely, I think you're going to get a more accurate assessment of who the contenders are.
How about going shorter too? Because we did have, for instance, at Fairgrounds, we did have the Costa Rising, which was 5.5 furlongs. And how short do you trim when you're blocking the distance parameters for sprints?
So on most of the regression analysis that I've done, anything between 5 furlong race versus 5.5. I'll only look at those. Those will be my filters. So I'll set it from 5 furlongs to 5.5, because a six furlong horse, at least in my experience, tends to be a much different horse than a 5 furlong mm-hmm. horse. You know, the distance is very sharp. I think they're almost specialists. So I don't, not saying a 6 furlong horse can't win a 5 furlong race, but if you're really trying to narrow down the data in these sprints and the races either 5 or 5.5, I just look at races between 5 and 5.5. I'm not concerned with races at 6, especially the way some of these horses are playing, you know, towards speed. If a 6 furlong horse is going to come from out of it, he's going to have to be really sharp to get there.
Well, I mentioned the Hong Kong Derby, and we'll talk on Thursday to Dick Powell and recap Sky Darcy's win. But as it happens, I woke up just in time. We were in Rochester for Baby's Day at the zoo, and I woke up at 4 something, and I said, it's funny, I laid there for a second. I thought to myself, well, there's something I got to do. And it took me a couple of minutes for the synopsis to fire. And I thought, the Hong Kong Derby. So I got up and I looked, and I got a screen cap. I went over to the Hong Kong page, and you showed people how to make the move from North America to Australasia, to Asia Pacific, as it's listed. And there was this Hong Kong Derby group, and Sir Darcy, or Sky Darcy, was was right there at the top of my page, and I tried to box up four horses and it, and got nothing. But the winner was the top form to win selection.
Yeah, the Hong Kong form is very intriguing because we're strictly going off the form to win data. We don't have any sort of equa based data on the Hong Kong product. So, and I had been playing around with it, and you know those races are in meters, but we have it converted in meters for you on the form to win app.
Right.
So you just have to, you know. So if it's at, 1,200 meters, I'll look at 1,000 between 1,000 and 1,200, and I personally know nothing about the Hong Kong racing other than the huge pools and the liquidity. But form to win is putting it and putting you onto some prices too.
Yes.
When I was looking over there was a 19-1 shot that won and that form to win ranked high. So yeah, I'll be going over that again on Twitch on Thursday, how to switch it over. And, yeah. And all that data is free. That doesn't count as your two free races. Your two free races will be only on the North American product.
Nice. So people can you can play as much Australia and Singapore and Hong Kong that you want. Sky Darcy. I know that Panfield was getting a lot of attention, and Panfield, who finished third, I think was sixth best on average, but Sky Darcy was clear. And what I did was I boxed the four top players. And I suppose looking back, I mean, Sky Darcy paid, paid 9-2 essentially, I think on the win end, but on the North American, on the ADW. But I was swinging for, at the time, there was, I'm just looking at the screen cap, Sky Darcy actually was 8-1 at the time. Lucky Express, 16-1, 10-1 on Happy Healthy, and 8-1 on Silver Express. So I just was, kind of, it was an action bet, obviously. I mean, just taking a swing.
Right. And also, Steve, just for those that don't, or just are new to the product or just new to wager on horses in general, is the sim bet option where you can, you've got a fake bank of money, so to say, and you can play around with selecting your horses and then seeing what the payout would have been, and that's a good way to get introduced into the game also.
Well, let's take a couple of minutes here, and we'll start to look ahead. Obviously, we'll talk Friday and cap some of the big stake opportunities, but the Tuesday cards that actually I want to mention include the return yesterday. I forgot to mention this. Will Rogers back for everybody, and day two at Will Rogers here. And don't forget, Will Rogers was invaluable last year at this time when there was so little to choose from. But Mahoning Valley today, and Delta, and Parks. Turf Paradise later as well. And what do you think?
It's funny that you say that. I just looked at Will Rogers just to see. I was looking for some decent sized fields, and I found two races where, yesterday I was playing around with the app and probably bet 30 races, and a lot of the sequences were kind of chalky. But using the app today, we'll see what kind of prices we got. But looking at Will Rogers race number one, Steve, 8 furlongs claiming. Without putting any filters in, form to win put me under the number two horse. She's a Hot Flash at 6-1. Now she and the favorite are both ranked 1-2. And then I applied a filter. This race is at 8 furlongs. So I looked at races between 8 and 8.5 furlongs and then just all dirt. And then, She's a Hot Flash is ranked 1-2 again, with the favorite Betty Jean. So I'm going to try to get She's a Hot Flash involved, and hopefully that 6-1 holds up a little bit. And then the other one was also with Will Rogers, and if you go to race 8, and here we're going 6 furlongs on the dirt, So I looked at races between, I set my distances at 6 to 6.5 furlongs, and then all dirt was my filter, and it put me on to My City Girl, who's the number 6 horse, and she's 10-1 on the morning line, and she's right below the favorite Tina, who's at 1.6. So I'll be interested in trying to get her in the next week.
Well, and I'm just I'm doing the same thing now. I did. So you, just 6 furlongs. You didn't expand
6 to 6.5.
6 to 6.5. Okay, because had a slightly different. Yeah, Kina and My City Girl. Got it.
And that's too. And then another thing I like to do. Let's see, this is an allowance race. Is I like to look at the last out highest number. So if you go to, just click on comparator, and then for distance, just drop it down to distance, and then instead of a summary, click on past, and you can see all the horses, basically past performances, color-coded, how they finish in the position, with obviously red being first, green being second, yellow being third. And looking for the last highest out number, it looks like we have 2 horses, the 5, who is the second choice, and then the 1, who is 12-1 on the morning line. And sometimes that's an interesting angle, too, last out number, especially in some of the cheaper races.
Flesh out the we got about 3-4 minutes actually, Papo. Flesh out the comparator and explain what it's laying out for you, because this is actually a place where going from portrait to landscape can really help you if you got to do it on the horizontal so that you get an easier read. It's a little too, at least on my phone, it's a little too compact when you're trying to figure out what you're looking at.
Right. So the comparator tab is just a different way of looking at where the horse is finished in all the races, and they're all packed next to each other. So you would just click the comparator tab, and then there's another tab right below it that says, you know, finish position. You want to rank it by finish position. And the tab next to that is either summary, packed, or weekly. And I click on packed. So what that's doing is just giving me where the horse finished in the races, and it's color-coded too, so it's easy to see which horses like to win and which ones don't. And all the horses are lined next to each other. And if you're looking on the left of your screen, that's their latest race. So just really easily, you can see where the horse is finished, and then the equibase speed figures in the left-hand corner of each little block. I know it's hard for some people to be able to visualize this on the radio, but just download the Form to Win app, and you can kind of see what we're talking about. And then, like I said, on Thursdays I do the Twitch to kind of explain it also, and then we also post those on YouTube. So it's just a different way of looking at it, but it's a really great summary of a race. Just really easy to identify. If you're looking at a horse, especially with these horses that have 10 to 12 starts, and there's all, you know, browns and blues, which is fourth place and below, then you know that probably that horse is one of those horses that just doesn't like to win.
I see the park. I have not used this much yet.
Yeah, I think it definitely has an edge, when you have plenty of data to work with, and especially on the cheaper races. That last out number for some of these cheaper races, almost regardless of distance, some of these claiming races, that last out number has put me onto some prices. It's a really good angle to work with.
Well, I was trying to find one at Parks today, but I can't get past, unfortunately, in that 6th. When I went to go look at at the prices, the top 2 choices were kind of stood out. The 1 and the 6, Mr. Dota and Stretch the Truth, unfortunately. But let's see how quickly, just to show you how quickly you can handicap a race, go home and go back to Parks, and let's look at the nickel nightcap, which is the 11th. Do this with me, Popo, and see what you've got. This okay. is a mile, and we're going to analyze the one Abaco Dream is the raw horse, and then if we adjust to, let's say, 7 furlongs to a mile, and Abaco Dream stays right on top, the one with the 5 and 10. So there you go, 5 to 1 shot.
And I narrowed it down just a little bit more. I went 8 to 8.5, and it put the three horses involved with the one also, and the three horses misdriven it at 8 to 1. She's interesting also.
All right. 1, 3, 5, 10 in the 11th. We'll see today. And we'll talk to you Friday. Popo Morales, everybody. Formtowin.com. Follow Popo. Popo Core 1 Amwager, of course. And we'll look at the big weekend on Friday with Formtowin.com. 2 free races a day. Play with it. Reach out to Popo or I with any questions. Want to thank Popo and Andy Serling. Big D, Darren Rogers. DRF Privman, Jay Privman, and Doug O'Neill. Back with you tomorrow, Wednesday. Sire Watch Pedigree Focus brought to you by Hill and Dale, Sid, and much more. Talk to you then.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Why, in the past decade,